good afternoon to those present in the room today and those of you who are present via telephone. I'm pleased to welcome you for this conference about the 2009 business performance of Umicore. I think there is little need to set the scene or to spend too much time talking about the context and the economic crisis that hit most businesses and most geographies last year. You all had the chance or the opportunity to make your own analysis and your own judgment about the economic downturn. But I think more importantly, you've all had the chance to appreciate and assess the magnitude of the reduction in demand that has affected most businesses worldwide. Against the challenging economic backdrop of last year, and despite, let's face it, the reduced earnings compared to 2008, I'm really proud of the performance in general that Umicore has produced, and proud in particular of the efforts, the outstanding efforts that our teams around the globe have put together to mitigate to the best extent possible the effects of the crisis, while at the same time positioning Umicore or continuing to position Umicore well for growth initiatives. As we indicated in the course of last year, our financial results did improve in the second half of 2009 from the low levels that we had seen earlier in the year. And that reflects the impact of the cost reduction measures that were initiated and implemented in the first part of the year and which started to bear fruit in the second half of 2009 on one hand. And those effects were also supplemented by improving sales that we benefited from in certain of our segments and in precious metals products and catalysts in particular. We have pursued our growth programs in 2009, and that has translated in significant capital expenditures, growth-related capex, and intensive research and development efforts as well. As another highlight, I'm pleased to report a notable improvement in our safety performance in 2009. Not that we started from a lousy base, to the contrary, Umicore has typically been one of the best-in-class performers in the chemical world in that respect. This being said, we want to move from one of the best-in-class to the best-in-class and achieve an ultimate goal of zero accidents. So I'm pleased to see that as part of our sustainability efforts, we made progress in 2009 on that front too. Martin will comment a bit later on the financials, and obviously you have already seen that we generated strong cash flows in 2009 throughout the year. That includes the effect of working capital reductions, and our balance sheet at the end of last year showed a very limited level of indebtedness, despite the continued growth investments and the payment of a dividend. Talking about dividend, the board decided yesterday to maintain the dividend at 65 euro cents per share. And I insist on the cents because this morning the press conference I said 65 euro, which would be fairly costly for the company. 65 euro cents, and I think quite importantly the board saw no reason to change the dividend policy of the group, and given the positive outlook that we have for 2009, I think it is really making sense to maintain our dividend in respect of the financial year 2009. At the end of the presentation, I will elaborate on the outlook for 2010, and in the meantime, I would like to comment on some key figures and major developments. You've seen the figures this morning. We'll talk about them, or Martin will talk about them a bit later. Just would like to highlight on slide number 3 our revenues of 1.7 billion, of course, substantially lower than in 2008. Given the circumstances, I think we can be proud on the performance that we have produced. In other words, in the context, having a return on total capital invested of more than 8% should be seen indeed as a more than reasonable performance. On the next slide, we show the development of revenues and recurring EBIT and return on capital employed for the past few years, showing again in a different form and color that the revenues dropped in 2009 as a consequence of the recession, while the other graph shows, the graph on the right-hand side of the page, shows our recurring EBIT of 146 million, corresponding to a return of 8%, which is quite a bit lower than the performance achieved in prior years. Now, the picture is somewhat different, though, if you look at the development in revenue, the development of revenue and EBIT by half year. What you see on page 5 on the left-hand side is that revenues dropped in the first part of the year, and the effect was particularly significant in the first quarter of 2009, as we reported last year, revenues and sales did stabilize in the second part of last year, and that is masking the fact that we tend to have some seasonality in certain segments, for instance in zinc specialties, or in other words, that means that we increased sales in other segments such as automotive catalysts and advanced materials to make up for the seasonality that we typically see in certain other businesses. The graph on the right-hand side shows the turnaround in profits, driven, as I mentioned in the introduction, by the reduction of costs on one side, a different sales mix, as I alluded to, more sales of automotive catalysts and rechargeable battery materials, for instance, seasonal effects on the other side, seasonal dip for certain of our other businesses, for instance, in zinc specialties. And as another contribution to the turnaround in EBIT, is the contribution from our associated companies, Element 6 in particular, that has realized quite a bit of better profits in the second half of last year as a result of significant cost reductions. And that is, of course, an effect that you do not see in revenue since we do not consolidate that entity. Let me comment again on the positive impact of cost reductions of last year. We commented on the initiatives that we took in the course of last year, and I think it's worth repeating that as a matter of philosophy, we decided to reduce our costs selectively, addressing the businesses and regions that were most affected by the reduction in demand and avoiding any kind of one-size-fits-all cost reduction program. Also, we decided to maintain intensive research and development programs throughout 2009 and in order to ensure that we could continue our positioning in attractive growth segments. And I think that it is also worth outlining that while we reduced the workforce by some 800 people in the fully consolidated companies, we have also started to create new jobs in certain geographies and certain market segments in function of where the market traction was. So in total, we have reduced our workforce by 1,800 people, of which 1,000 in the non-consolidated companies, the associates, and that is mainly in the Element 6 abrasives business. As you also remember from the comments I made last year, we made maximum use of the temporary measures where these were available. That is mainly in Germany through the reduced working time and in Belgium with temporary unemployment. And it is comforting to see that the vast majority of the colleagues who were affected by such measures last year have by now returned to work, which is also another illustration of the fact that demand is improving and our capacity utilization is improving accordingly. While addressing the fixed cost structure, we continue to invest in our growth initiatives. And last year, again, we dedicated some 7% of our revenues to research and development programs. In particular, we decided to step up our development efforts in new recycling process, and I will come back to that. You have seen some of the illustration of those step-up efforts when we announced the construction of a new smelter for the recycling of spent batteries. We also decided to step up our efforts for the development of new grades of materials for rechargeable batteries. On the other side, we increased the efficiency of some of our testing and development programs, in particular in automotive catalysts, and that has helped us to contain the costs through last year. Talking about the growth investments, let me highlight those key projects that were completed in the course of 2009 or that are currently underway. First of all, as part of our efforts to develop materials for new energy solutions, we completed two significant projects last year. First of all, the expansion of our production in Korea and the addition of new capabilities to make new grades of rechargeable battery materials targeting new applications, including automotive applications. And somewhat related to that investment, the expansion of our precursor production capacity in China for the same applications. We also completed the construction of our plant in the U.S. That is in the process of qualifying substrates for solar cells and for other applications such as LEDs in the U.S. So the plant is up and running, and actually the qualification process has started for the products we make there. We have also decided to expand our production capacity for newly developed rotary targets that are used in thin film coatings for special glasses and for photovoltaic applications. That's also mostly in Europe and in the U.S. And on the other side, we decided to put on hold our development efforts for solar-grade silicon. That was part of our HyCore joint venture with Hydro. The reason for that is that we have decided to allocate our scarce research resources to projects that have a higher degree of urgency today, considering the relative slow progress that was made on the technology side with HyCore, and also the current shape in which the silicon market, the polysilicon market today is, with very significant overcapacities. As part of our environmental solutions, in particular our automotive catalyst business, we completed the expansion of testing and R&D facilities in Germany and Korea, and we also completed a new expansion phase in Korea that is adding capacity and capabilities for the Korean market, domestic and export markets. Finally, we decided very recently to expand further our production capacity in our automotive catalyst plant in Suzhou in China to support our formidable growth in the regions. We'll be adding capacity and capabilities in the plant, and those should come on stream towards the end of this year. As part of our recycling solutions initiatives, we completed the construction of a new jewelry and electroplating plant in Foshan near Guangzhou in China. The plant was commissioned in September and is serving the jewelry and electroplating market. And what is quite unique is that it has fully fledged recycling facilities to treat production scrap from the local market. And finally, as you know, and as I mentioned earlier, we decided a significant step in our development. We decided, as a significant step in our development, we decided to build a new smelter for to recycle spent rechargeable batteries using our breakthrough ultra-high temperature technology. That is an investment of about €25 million that will be made at our Hoboken site in Belgium, and which should become operational in early 2011. As I mentioned in the introduction, we realized a significant improvement in our safety performance in 2009, both in terms of frequency and severity rates. And as I mentioned also, it makes me confident that we can get much further and that we can reach our ambitious goal of zero accident, of making Umicore a zero accident workplace. Let me now move to the business review. So I'm turning to slide number 14. And starting with advanced materials, I will not spend too much time commenting the results since you've had a chance to read through them this morning. I would like just to show, of course, that our recurring EBIT decreased from €71 million in 2008 to €22 million euro last year. But if you turn to slide number 15, there you will see that the profitability started to recover actually in the second part of 2009, reflecting the cost reduction, the effect of cost reductions as the Element 6 abrasives, as I mentioned earlier, and improving sales in most businesses. In particular, the sales of battery materials started to pick up in the second part of last year, although the mix of materials was a bit less favorable than it used to be, with a higher proportion of materials being selected for, or a higher proportion of lower quality batteries being produced by our customers, requiring some of the less demanding grades of battery materials. The performance in electro-optic materials was steady, both in the infrared optics applications and in substrates. And it's worth noting regarding the substrates that the proportion of those products going into LED applications continued to grow. In precious metals products and catalysts, results were down by two-thirds for the full year compared to 2008, due, of course, doesn't come as a surprise to you, due to the downturn in the automotive, electronics, and construction industries. The good news, though, is that we managed to turn the tide by reducing costs, including some significant adjustments to our production footprint in technical materials as well as in automotive catalyst. And adding to the cost reduction efforts, we started to benefit from improving sales in the second half of last year. All in all, we swung from a small loss of €9 million in the first half of 2009 to a profit of €42 million in the second half, as you can see from the graph at the bottom end of the page on the left-hand side of slide number 17. In jewelry and electroplating, the performance was steady and was supported by the gold recycling activity, which ran at a fairly high level, driven by a high gold price, and we observe typically a correlation between the supply availability and the gold prices, and of course this was favorable to us, or has been favorable to us, for the past several months. And that effect has somewhat offset a more subdued demand for end products, both in jewelry and electroplating applications. The demand for the platinum-based equipment for high-purity glass recovered in the course of the year after a very slow start in the first quarter, while the demand for platinum-based catalysts for the fertilizer industry remained subdued through year-end. In precious metal services, we had a very strong performance, and I guess that some of you will say again, with recurring EBIT exceeding 100 million. And by the way, I will also say again, because I'm very pleased with the performance of that segment, with a recurring EBIT exceeding 100 million euro on a full-year basis and a return on capital employed of close to 60%, which remains quite remarkable. As we had explained earlier, in the course of 2009, the supply environment got somewhat less favorable. We observed a number of closures and capacity reduction in some of our traditional supply industries: zinc smelters, lead smelters, PGM miners, copper smelters. And that has resulted in a somewhat less positive stream of industrial residues. Similar, we mentioned last year that the supply of spent automotive catalysts was at low levels and was at low levels during actually the entire year. It improved modestly towards the end of the year, but I must say it was only a modest improvement, and we're not back yet to the levels of supply that we had seen back in 2007, 2008. On the other side, the recycling of electronic scrap continued to grow, and one of the differences that one of the distinctions that that segment offers compared to other end-of-life materials is that the availability of scrap is supported to a large extent by regulations, in particular in Europe. And there could be also some correlation to the high gold prices that prevailed throughout 2009. All in all, I must say that we have, or I should say that we have proven once again that the flexibility and the capabilities of our process and technologies are truly unique, and that these have enabled us to respond quickly to changing market conditions and to a changing supply mix. What we typically do in the precious metals refining activity is that we operate at fairly constant levels of capacity, so you do not necessarily have large volume effects. However, in function of the market conditions and the availability of certain supply streams relative to others, the mix is changing quite frequently or quite constantly, and we constantly optimize the blend of materials that we process in our smelter. In precious metals management, the activities performed well, in line, I would say, with normal years, and with, I mean, the volatility on the PGM markets was fairly limited in 2009 and did not offer outstanding trading opportunities last year. In zinc specialties, our recurring EBIT was close to 30 million euro, which, given the circumstances and the downturn in the construction industry in particular, is quite an achievement, and that corresponds to a return on capital employed of more than 10%, which is more than reasonable, I would say. Sales and EBIT in 2009 in that segment developed in line with the usual seasonal pattern. The zinc recycling activity performed well throughout the year and was supported by good margins, partly due to some of the contracts that we had booked in prior years and that we could price when the zinc price was higher than what it was last year. The demand for most end products, zinc oxides and powders, was subdued for most applications. We saw a little recovery in the second part of last year, except for those powders that are used in alkaline batteries. In building products, our performance was, I would say, much better than the average of the industry. And there we benefited very clearly from our diversified exposure, and in particular, our exposure to the renovation and architectural segments did help to mitigate the effect of lower demand from the new build residential segment. At this stage, I would like to hand over to Martin, who will comment on the financials, and then afterwards I will conclude the presentation with some comments about the outlook.
Let's move immediately to slide 24, where you see the evolution of the debt. You've seen already this morning, I assume, that we have managed to work our debt levels down materially to 161 million. Working capital improvement, certainly a major contributor to that. What I would say today is that there have been clearly very focused efforts to decrease the working capital. We have been helped by, on average, lower metal rates during the year. And also, let's say that right now we had some favorable impacts that, you know, we didn't really control, but, you know, I would say this is a low point in our working capital if the metal rates would stay at the same level. CapEx, 190 million, which is totally in line with what we had forecasted and about the same level than last year. If we look at our debt, we see that at current debt levels, we don't use all of our facilities. We've got quite a bit of headroom. The gearing ratio dropped to about 10%, so a very, very strong position that allows us to, in the current financial market, to look with confidence to the future. Non-recurring items, restructuring, in the end, non-recurring items that were relatively low, total impact on net result after tax about 8 million. Basically, two diverging effects, restructuring expenses that were significant at 38.4 million before tax, but offset partly by the reversal of some impairment we had to take previous years on the inventories in the pipeline, which were impacted by decreasing metal values. And now with the increasing metal prices, we could take some of those impairments back. When we look at our financial charges, we see that as a percentage of our indebtedness, we dropped materially from 5.8% to 3.9%, clearly driven by the decrease in interest rates, but also by a very strict cash management that allow us to secure our lending in those areas that had the lowest interest rates. Recurring taxes also lower than last year, but in line with the first half. As I already explained, in the first half, the tax rate is influenced by the regional spread of our profits, and that is driving the tax rate down. On more looking out to the future, I would say that, you know, I would still expect the tax rate to be at the high 20s and not at the rate where we are right now. Earnings per share, 73 Eurocents per share, which indeed, as Mark said, allows us to propose to the shareholders the approval of a dividend payment that is in line with our policy, which is flat or increasing, and which is 65 cents per share. Mark will go back to the outlook now.
Okay, so let me start with the divisional outlook, and after which I will comment on the group, the view for the entire group. In advanced materials, we expect an overall improvement in performance, driven by a recovery in sales, and in particular, the demand of rechargeable battery materials is expected to recover. It has started to pick up in the second part of last year, and continues to show good signs of recovery. You may also remember that the key investment that we made last year in Korea was also aimed at producing new grades of materials for new applications, such as automotive applications. And it is fair to say that those new grades of material are very high in demand and are representing a growing share of our sales of such materials. We expect a steady performance in the other business lines, in the ceramics and chemicals, in tool materials, and in the electro-optic materials in particular. And also, of course, the impact of the cost reductions that began to be visible in the second part of last year for Element 6 abrasive will be visible on a full-year basis in 2010. In precious metals products and catalysts, the improvement should be significant overall in 2010, building on the trends that we observed in the second part of last year. First of all, also we will benefit from the full year effect of the cost reductions that were implemented in the course of last year, and we should continue to benefit from improving revenues in technical materials and automotive catalysts, while the other activities are expected to produce a pretty steady level of performance. In precious metals services, we may have trends that could be somewhat of a mirror image of what we had in 2009. 2009, we still benefited from high metal prices that were contracted in prior periods, and we saw a somewhat negative trend in supply. In 2010, the image should be the mirror, as I mentioned, with lower received metal price, as we no longer benefit from earlier contracts, while the supply trend is improving, it started to improve, and shows encouraging signs of improvement, both on the industrial residue side and end-of-life materials. We've seen indeed some of the capacity that was previously idled coming back on stream, and that bodes relatively well for the mix of products that we'll be in a position to treat in our refining activity. We will also have a higher level of development costs in that division that are related to the development of the new ultra-high temperature technology that we will use in the future, both for the recycling of spent rechargeable batteries and also to test how to recycle new residue streams. In zinc specialties, we have a number of question marks. We expect improvements, I would say, in our zinc oxide and zinc powders business in terms of demand from the market. But in the construction segment, however, there are a number of question marks, as I mentioned, in the sense that the number of new projects that were initiated in 2009 is down or was down compared to prior years, and we may have a late cycle effect in terms of demand for our own products in 2010 in that segment. Remains to be seen. I would say the start of the year is a difficult indicator. It's not providing a lot of indications because the weather has provided adverse business conditions and most of the construction works are on hold. So it remains to be seen how the business will develop. But all in all, I would say that the performance should be relatively steady compared to 2009. For the group in its entirety, we expect the recurring EBIT to show a significant improvement from the levels of 2009, building on the trends that we observed in the second part of last year, with the full benefit or the full year benefit of the cost reductions that we have implemented and a gradual recovery in sales and revenues in a majority of our businesses. We will continue our growth positioning efforts. We will continue our growth programs, which will translate into a fairly intensive level of efforts of R&D as well as capital expenditures, and those two should be at somewhat similar levels as those that we have observed in 2009. So in a nutshell, I would say the as a wrap-up, 2009 was a challenging year, as of course was expected, and the most significant challenge for Umicore was not to reduce costs. It was to address the changing market demand while at the same time continuing to position us well for growth in the future. And I think that the results that and the performance that we are showing today demonstrate that we have done that reasonably well in 2009. The outlook for 2010 is positive, and we are back on a growth track and on an earnings improvement track, while at the same time starting to benefit from growth initiatives that have continued over the past few years. At this stage, I would like to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press the code 01 on your telephone.
Hi,
keep and we will enter a queue.
A couple of questions. Can you explain the capacity increase in China? By what amount will you increase your capacity by the end of this year? In catalysts, sorry.
For catalyst, the capacity will, well, it's not only a capacity it's all increase, it's also addition of new capabilities. So I would say all in all, we will add approximately 30% capacity by the end of the year. And I would say more importantly, the capability to produce also diesel products in China. You know that the automotive market in China for light-duty application is a gasoline-dominated market. So far, we were focusing our efforts on serving, on producing three-way catalysts for the gasoline engines. In the future, we will also produce diesel products that will be used in medium and heavy-duty diesel applications, and that's the result of certain businesses that we have won in that segment.
Is that enough to maintain a leadership position in China, do you think?
It is sufficient to maintain a leadership position in China, indeed. And as you have observed over the past 5 years, we are, I would say, acting very quickly in terms of capacity adjustments in China. We opened the plant in June 2005, and we are now conducting the fourth wave of capacity expansion, so it's approximately one every 12 to 18 months. So it's a modular approach, and indeed we are well equipped to support the growth, to support our growth in the market, and to maintain a leadership position in that region.
In the press release, you mentioned that you have new HDD contracts. Can you give more details on that in terms of the how many platforms and the timing, and also if you have any outlook and guidance over HDD over the next couple of years, how much that would represent?
I would use the same kind of guidance that I've used recently. That is that today the heavy-duty segment for us represents more cost than revenues, and that we expect the contribution to earnings to be positive starting in 2012. That is, we have won a number of platforms in several regions, so we're pretty positive about our efforts to catch up in HDD. We had already closed the technology gap a while ago, and we needed to step up our efforts to, in terms of market positioning. That is starting to pay off. This being said, as I mentioned earlier, we are not likely to be a player of the same size of largest competitor in that segment in the foreseeable future. And this is not our objective either, as we focus on a selected number of platforms and applications which we think make most sense for us from a value creation potential point of view. So it's a number of platforms. I'm not going to be more specific at this stage. Suffice to say that I would say the impact is going to be most visible starting in 2012 in terms of top and bottom line.
And last question, with regards to the margins that you generated in PMPNC, the second half, I was quite impressed by the 9.7% margin that you realized. Do you think that is sustainable going into 2010? Or are there, because what you do mention in the press release and what you had already indicated previously is that there was a negative mix effect from smaller engines. Despite that, you generated quite an attractive margin in the second half.
Yes.
How do you expect that to move into 2010 and beyond?
Yeah. Actually, we see that as a sustainable performance, and I have to actually... a perspective to offer to address the comments and the question that that you raised. One is that the mix effect is indeed there to stay, we believe. We see a gradual shift to smaller engines, and especially gasoline engines, so the proportion of diesel in the overall mix continues to decrease somewhat year after year. But this being said, the mix effect for us has primarily an impact on the volumes rather than on the margins that we make, with the exception of diesel, of course, because diesel offers more attractive margins in general than gasoline applications. But as far as gasoline applications are concerned, the move to smaller engines doesn't mean that we have less profitable products, but typically smaller engines require less catalyst liters, less catalyst volumes, so it is a volume impact more than anything else. Second, a perspective that I would like to offer in order to illustrate the sustainability is that the adjustments that we made last year in automotive catalyst to our production footprint and our test and development facilities were meant to not only address the short-term reduction in demand from the market, but more importantly, to prepare us well for this continued shift that we see in terms of platforms and the geographical shift that we see with more capabilities being required in emerging markets and in Asia in particular. And that is also explaining the level of investment that you continue to see being necessary in that segment. So all in all, yes, in a nutshell, we see the level of performance achieved in the second part of last year as fully sustainable.
Good afternoon, Wim Hoste, KBC Securities. I also have a couple of questions. Maybe first on your balance sheet, your gearing is actually very low now. Can you give some insight in how you see your balance sheet evolving in the next couple of years?
As you know, we have fairly ambitious growth plans in three domains. That is in recycling solutions, in environmental solutions, and in particular emission control related products, and last but not least, in materials for energy storage and clean energy production. These are areas that we will develop primarily from an organic point of view and which may require quite a bit of capital going forward. At a certain stage, while we have made already a lot of investments in research, in product development, and in facilities, at a certain stage, we expect those developments to require an acceleration in terms of capacity and capabilities, and we want to be ready with the necessary balance sheet flexibility and capital as well as human resources, of course, to shift gear and to accelerate our development and positioning in those segments. So I would say that we would want to use our balance sheet strength in order to have the full flexibility to finance our organic growth initiatives. This should leave us, because we tend to generate quite a bit of free cash flows year in, year out, despite the high levels of research and recurring capex levels. This would leave us with sufficient headroom and flexibility to also pursue acquisitions if opportunities do arise and materialize in areas where such acquisitions could help us accelerate our efforts, could help us accelerate our market positioning in those segments that I have listed. So, this being said, it is remains difficult to make balance sheet projections for one reason is that we also have fluctuations of working capital requirements, and these depend to a certain extent on metal prices, and it's difficult to forecast how these could behave in the coming months and years. You know that we typically want to maintain a strong balance sheet, that we try to avoid excessive gearing, so we will definitely keep the same or maintain the same philosophy going forward.
And then two clarification questions, please. First, you said that R&D and CAPEX budgets would be relatively similar in 2010. Does that mean in absolute terms or as a percentage of sales?
I said approximately at the same level. So please, at this time of the year, I would ask you to leave me this kind of this level of vagueness and flexibility, approximately. Okay.
And then a last clarification question. I don't know if you want to comment on it, but I try my luck anyway. On the cost savings, could you maybe give a number of how much savings you realized during 2009 on a structural basis?
No, that was a good try, but unfortunately it will not work this time either.
Okay.
No, we don't want to comment on cost savings. Obviously, it was an important factor in the earnings turnaround in the second half of last year, joking aside. This being said, as I mentioned last year too, we don't want to isolate that effect because growing costs or reducing costs is part of the daily life of any business. We have to adjust to market conditions, to the demand, and I don't want to make it a topic of focus.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Mr. Barrow, Peter Kem. You mentioned improved business environment in automotive catalysts, but do you bank mainly, chiefly on emerging markets? Or what is your best base case for developed countries?
In 2010?
Yes.
In 2009 already, I would say the Asian market and the Chinese market in particular were significant contributors to the improvement in that we observed in the second half of the year, improvement in sales and earnings. We expect the trend to continue. And not only in 2010, but well beyond 2010, the vast majority in volume terms of the growth of the automotive industry is going to come from emerging markets, China, Southeast Asia, India, Russia, South America. So we expect that trend to continue, and we continue to make sure that we are properly positioned from a production and testing facilities point of view in order to capture the growth in those markets.
Okay. And regarding the developed countries?
Developed countries, what we expect in 2010 is somewhat of a recovery in the U.S., which has already been visible to a certain extent mid-year 2009. While in Europe, we still have a number of question marks, as it's not yet totally clear how the phasing out of the government subsidies could affect the demand.
And then I had a second question regarding the net working capital. You mentioned, Ms. Verlaine said that the level at the end of 2009 was at a low level. Do I have to interpret this to and say it was an exceptionally low level?
I wouldn't say it was exceptionally low, but it was at a low level. What I'm trying to say is that the change from now on, the change in metal prices is going to be what drives the further change of the working capital, and that in terms of further decrease, I don't think we should expect that, with at least with the tools we have now.
Okay, so volumes and prices we know.
Okay. Yeah, now it's volumes and prices.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So I would propose now that we take questions from people attending the conference call.
Thank you, sir. We have a first question from Sophie Jourier from Citigroup. Madam, please go ahead.
Yes, afternoon. Just a couple of questions, please. First of all, just on the precious metal services division, just trying to get an idea in terms of your outlook statement as to whether you feel that the profitability, as you see it, in that division is now sequentially moving back up again with the volume increasing despite the fall off the metal prices. Just trying to get a bit of understanding as your thoughts on the sequential movement in that division. And then second of all, just a brief question actually, in terms of your automotive catalyst comments, I wondered whether you could just share with us what you're thinking about in terms of car production for this year. I know previously you've given some figures in terms of global numbers. Just any sort of color on that would be helpful. Thanks.
You mean, Sophie, car production in 2010?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me start with the second question. Car production in 2009 was about 56 or 56.5 million vehicles worldwide, and I'm talking about passenger cars only, compared to 65 million in 2008 and 68 million in 2007. And we saw quite a bit of an improvement in the second half. First half production was about 25 million, so there was more than 30 million cars produced in the second half of the year. The improvement was mainly driven and supported by government incentives in many regions, including China, where tax rebates continue to be offered to the consumers. And we expect actually the trend to be somewhat similar to what we observed in the second half of last year. There are a number of industry forecasts that are being published. They tend to range from, let's say, on the pessimistic side, 58 to 59 million cars being produced to 62 to 63 million for the most optimistic among us. So I would say I don't have a view that is any different than the range that can be offered by the industry observers today, and I think that if the markets, especially in Europe, doesn't react well or doesn't behave well after the government subsidies are phased out, we could end up at the low end of the range, I would say, in the region of 58 to 59 million. And if the market holds up relatively well and the growth in China continues, we could end up closer to the high end of the range.
Thank you.
Our assumption today, I would say, is more modest than the high end of the range, I must say.
Yes, thanks.
And then regarding your first question on the profitability of the PMS division. What we mentioned in the past, what we have mentioned regularly, is that in a normalized year with lower metal prices and a normalized supply mix, the division was capable of making 60 to 70 million EBIT. So what I can offer today is that in 2010, we see profits to be above that level. We should benefit from an improved supply environment in the course of 2010, and that should offset to a certain extent, or maybe to a large extent, remains to be seen, the effects of somewhat lower metal prices compared to the contracts that we still benefited from in the course of 2009. So I'm pretty optimistic about PMS being in a position to produce another strong performance in terms of results and profitability and returns in 2010.
Great. And should I just follow up? You mentioned on that division development costs.
Next question from the telephone, please.
And the next question is from Peter Zwinkels from RBS. Sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. It's Peter Zwinkels, RBS. I have a question on advanced materials. If I strip out there the contribution of the associates and then probably predominantly element 6, can I then draw the conclusion that the margin is only 7.5% for your, let's say, consolidated business, and that comes from 3.3% in the first half year? I was wondering that given the headcount reduction also in the second half of this year, that margin could be significantly higher. Could you maybe elaborate a little bit on the developments in the second half in advanced materials and why that margin is still so low, excluding the associates? Thank you.
Well, actually, if we exclude the associates, we didn't have a lot of headcount and cost reductions in advanced materials. The story in advanced materials is about positioning us or continuing to position us for new segments, new applications, and for growth. So we didn't drive the business for cost reductions. We drove the business for continued growth positioning. So, and this being said, we do not pay as much attention to the EBIT or EBITDA margins to revenue, because those tend to fluctuate with the value of the metal and the with the value of metals or currencies. We focus more systematically on returns on capital employed.
Okay, and what, talking about advanced materials, if I take a look at the, let's say, sales including metals, it's up from 240 to 301, while the revenue...
Next question, please.
Yeah. The next question is from Andrew Stutt from Bank of America. Sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. A couple of quick questions. I think somebody tried to ask it earlier, actually. Higher development costs you mentioned for PM services, is that a material number? That's the first question. And then secondly, Mark, I wonder if you just educate me on the commentary around the rechargeable materials business. You're talking on page 4 of the press release about the shift from lithium cobaltite to NMC. I just wanted to understand where we are in that shift, what it means for the business in terms of margin. So just a bit more background there. Thank you.
Okay, so first of all, the development cost for PMS is going to be a material figure, indeed, because we want to be as fast and as efficient as possible in developing this new process, this new ultra-high temperature technology for recycling processes. So I think it's going to be, yes, fairly material development costs. This being said, when I made the comment earlier about the profitability or outlook for PMS in terms of profits, I had already taken into account the fact that those costs would be there. Secondly, regarding the shift from lithium cobalt to NMC, the shift is pretty significant and relatively fast, including in portable electronics applications. As you may recall, when we completed the investment in Korea for NMC materials and the expansion in China for those precursors, we mentioned that the primary purpose was to serve the growing applications in portable tools and automotive in the automotive sector. Now we see that the interest for the existing applications in portable electronics is growing fast. So indeed, NMC has taken a significant share already of our sales in the segment. The impact on margin is not so much dictated by the shift from one to the other, but by the mix that we have within the LC, the lithium cobalt sales, and within the grades of NMC materials that are being produced. And indeed, the margins are somewhat less favorable today than they used to be. Maybe what I could offer in addition as a comment regarding the attraction or the traction that we see in the market for NMC is that our materials have so far been selected for about seven automotive platforms by a number of OEMs. So it is indeed pretty successful, and we are in the qualification process, test and or qualification process, for another five or six platforms. Of course, the volumes remain fairly small at this stage because the capacity for to produce EVs and HEVs cannot be ramped up, cannot be improvised. It has to be ramped up gradually by the car manufacturers. But it's a very encouraging sign to see that our products are making their way into those new applications, which possibly or potentially or hopefully will become volume, large volume applications for Umicore going forward.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. And the next question is from Martin Evans from J.P. Morgan Casanova. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, sorry, this is Kartik Swaminathan calling from J.P. Morgan Casanova on behalf of Martin Evans. We were just looking for a bit more color on your statement in the release this morning that emerging economies currently have less demanding emissions legislation. And our impression was very much that the big opportunity going forward is to capture the tightening planned as legislation kind of moves to converge towards strict and Western standards. Can we get a bit of a clarification and perhaps some more detailed thoughts on the market dynamics, please? Thanks.
Yeah, I'm sorry, the line was not so good. So let me make sure that I understood the question properly. You want me to provide some more color about our statement that emerging countries have less demanding emission standards. Is that right?
Yes, and your thoughts on the dynamics going forward.
So that's the part that I was missing. Indeed, what we see today is that in emerging countries, the emission requirements are less demanding. They are typically on average at the Euro 3 level in most emerging countries. That's the case in China, that's the case in Latin America. Moving pretty swiftly, I would say, to Euro 4 equivalent levels, and Euro 4 is what Europe had not so long ago until October of last year. So they are catching up. Now, it is also fair to say then that when we talk about less demanding requirements, it is not only the label that matters, because Euro 4 in Europe may not be the same as Euro 4 in another country outside of Europe, because the durability requirements can be extremely different. So overall, we see an attractive dynamics in the emerging countries moving progressively to Euro 4 emission standards or Euro 4 equivalent emission standards, and that enables us either to upgrade the technology that is being made available in those countries to meet those more stringent standards, or to standardize our production such that we do not have to produce the more sophisticated technologies in certain regions and less demanding technologies in others. So it is fairly attractive from a business point of view to move in that direction. The other consideration or the other consequence of these dynamics is that progressively you see emission norms applying to diesel applications coming into force to diesel, in particular medium and heavy duty diesel, coming into force in emerging countries, and that adds to the business potential for us.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, sir. And the next question is from Tom Ackermans from Kempen & Co. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions, please. First of all, I would like to have your thoughts on how we should
next
be looking...
Next question, please.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello. Two questions, please. First of all, could you give us your thoughts on the price component in the second half of 2010, how we should be looking at that, given the favorable developments we're seeing at the moment, and compared to the second half of 2009, if that's possible. Secondly, on advanced materials, I was wondering if there's anything we should take into account at the associates there. It's quite an impressive improvement we're seeing, which is probably mostly in element 6. Are there any special items we should take into account there, or is it really the effect of cost-cutting and improving end markets?
I'm sorry, I'm going to ask you to repeat the first question because I couldn't hear it well.
Okay. Well, first question is on precious metals recycling. I was wondering if you could give any thoughts on how the price component is going to develop in the second half of 2010, given the favorable trends we're seeing at the moment there. And would that be positive compared to perhaps the first half of 2010 or even the second half of 2009?
No, actually I cannot provide more color or more guidance in terms of the precious metals price component in precious metal services. That would be highly speculative because I don't know how prices are going to develop in the next few months or in the next few weeks or even in the next few days. So I wouldn't want to venture into some kind of forecast in that respect. I'm pretty confident, though, that regardless of the precious metal price development, that we'll be able to produce yet another outstanding performance, given what I see in the supply environment, what I see developing in the supply environment.
Okay, that's helpful.
It is fair to say that we have no protection left from contracts that were entered into in previous years, as was the case, unlike was the case in 2009. And we mentioned that last year that the protection offered by those earlier contracts was starting to roll off in the second part of last year and is now practically inexistent.
Okay.
So we're exposed to market prices, and it's difficult for me to forecast where these are going.
Yep.
As far as advanced materials is concerned, there is nothing out of the ordinary in the figures. The improvement that we see in profitability, again, is driven by improving sales in most businesses, and in particular, the sales picking up in rechargeable battery materials, while we benefited from the cost reduction efforts of Element 6 abrasives, but that is not visible in the revenue line. You only see that in the EBIT line.
And we should be seeing that developing positively at Element 6 in 2010 for the remainder of the year as well.
In 2010, for Element 6, we should not only benefit from the full year effect of the cost reductions, but we also expect sales to improve from the low levels that we had in 2009 indeed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. And we have a next question from Rim Benani from Exane. Sir, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mark and Martin. I have three questions. The first one is coming back on PMS. Could you remind us when the asset optimization actually took place for the sampling facilities, notably in Germany, and give us a little bit more color on the proportion in terms of employee reduction potentially, or if you are willing to comment on savings. The second question is a follow-up as well on PMS, if you could comment on arrivals of material sequentially Q4 versus Q3 and any additional change in mix, again, Q4 versus Q3 or even beyond that through January. And my last question, I was willing to know if there were any areas that were actually developed below expectation and like, for instance, PMPC. Thank you.
Okay, so let me start with the first question about the sampling activities in Germany and the optimization that we are conducting there in PMS. The timing is that the optimization will take place in the course of 2010, and it's going to be a gradual implementation. Some of these activities and all the activities, just for information, relate to the collection and sampling of spent catalysts, actually. Some of these activities are going to move to Maxton in the U.S., where we are consolidating our collection and decanning and sampling of metallic-based catalysts, while the rest of the activities is being consolidated in Hoboken. The move to Maxton is going to take place first and will be followed by the consolidation of the other activities in Hoboken, Belgium. So it's going to take a significant part of 2010 to have the optimization fully operational in that segment. Regarding the supply mix, we started to see some improvement in arrivals late last year and early this year in terms of our industrial residues. And of course, what we're interested in are the most valuable industrial residues and not concentrate that other people can easily treat in competition with us. So we see an improvement there as capacity is coming back on stream at certain non-ferrous industries. And we, as I mentioned, there was also a modest improvement in the arrivals of spent car catalysts. We see steady levels of activities in the in other catalyst recycling activities, industrial and chemical catalysts, and good levels of contracts and arrivals in electronic scrap. So obviously, the mix is going to continue to develop in the course of 2010, and from a margin point of view, we should be able to, and regardless of the precious metals price component, we should be able to have a somewhat richer mix in 2010 than what was the case in 2009. And then you asked about what was below expectation at Umicore. Can you maybe specify what you mean or what you want to get at?
No, I was just wondering because obviously the areas where you're a little bit disappointed by market development or by, I don't know, competitiveness of players or for any reason that developed below your expectations.
No, nothing in particular that would require commenting at this point in time, I would say. I think that we're pretty satisfied with the way that we have, I would say, addressed the necessary adjustments in footprint and cost structure while at the same time positioning us for growth. And no, it leaves little room for disappointment indeed.
Okay. And just, Mark, on the asset optimization for the sampling, can you net tell us if there's a reduction in people or just a shift with the closure of a facility?
No, there will be a net reduction, yeah.
How much?
No. No, we do not comment on the number of people that are being affected by the net reduction.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And we have a last question from Laurent Favre from UBS. Sir, please go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon. All my questions have been answered, actually. Thank you.
It was an easy one for a change, Laurent. Thank you.
See you next week.
So then I suggest that we go back to the room, and if there are additional questions, we'll take those questions now.
Yeah, two more questions. With regards to NMC capacity, I mean the increased capacity that you have in NMC, can you give us an idea of how much of that is utilized or was utilized in the second half? That's the first question. And then in terms of germanium expansion this year, how much do you expect the utilization rates to move with the new capacity towards the end of the year, let's say?
Mm-hmm. Let me start with the second one because it's easier. Not much of the capacity is going to be utilized this year because we'll use the better part of this year to qualify the products. These are high-tech products used in demanding high-tech applications by demanding customers that typically require fairly lengthy and complicated qualification processes. So I would expect that to take the better part of this year. So I would not count on too much contribution on the revenue side from that new plant in 2010, rather starting in 2011. On the NMC side, I would prefer not to give you any comment or not to give any specific response in terms of capacity utilization because that is both commercially and competitively sensitive.
And just one last question. With regards to the platforms that you've negotiated so far, so those are car platforms, which hybrid, let's say, electric car, which will be using lithium-ion batteries with your cathode materials.
Indeed.
And who are you competing? Is it Nishia, who's the main competitor in that market? Or are there any new players or any other players?
For cathode materials, it is indeed the usual suspects with people, indeed, like Nishia. And another few players that you would typically see in the market today. Yeah.
And anybody building up a big position that you weren't expecting, or?
No, not so far. Not really so far.
Thank you.
Is there any additional question on the phone?
No other questions, sir.
Okay, so if there is no question on the phone and no additional question here in the room, I would like to thank you for attending our conference today. And if you have further questions, of course, please do not hesitate to contact our investor relations team. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for attending.